Chapter 8. Jabs and Right Hooks. In this chapter, I talk about the number one rule for salespeople, the power of the ask, and how to amplify your audience's word of mouth. What more could I possibly say about this? Jab. The content you put out that entertains, distracts, attracts, informs, or otherwise engages and builds a relationship between you and your audience. It builds your brand, raises people's awareness of who you are and what you represent, and opens people up to receiving a right hook when the time is right. Right hook. The content you put out that brings in the sale. The one that offers 10% off, or announces a new line, or merely says, buy my stuff. It sounds so simple, but to make jabs and right hooks land with enough impact requires finesse, good improv skills, and a deep understanding of the psychology behind every platform you use. A jab on Pinterest will look completely different from one thrown on Twitter. A right hook on Instagram won't work if it's just something you recycled from Facebook. Each platform speaks to its users in a different way, and you have to learn the language. A short scan of any platform shows me that most people still aren't fluent. Want more details? Read my last book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. The end.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Alan Belcher here, former UFC top contender turned full-time entrepreneur. Now, I love business, and I've learned so much about business from Gary Vee over the years, and that's why I was so blown away when I was asked to be part of the Ask Gary Vee book. Thank you, Gary, so much for having me. What's the best advice you can give salespeople in the social media digital world age?
So first and foremost, the number one thing that you need to know, and I would say that I associate myself as a salesperson first out of every business function, more than a content provider, more than a leader and a salesman first. And so this is a salesman talking to salespeople. Stick with me here. First, you have to understand that the game has changed on us. This is dangerous territory for us. This is not email and LinkedIn anymore, which means we can just relentlessly pound people into submission and it's gonna work. Social media, you're on the record. This is public content. And if you don't have the right cadence and the right balance of providing value, you'll look like a jerk. You'll look like the guy that goes to a bar and literally hits on every girl until one says yes. And if you know that system, the odds are often 0 out of 37 efforts, especially when the 5th and 6th and 7th gal sees that you tried that already 3 times right in their face across the room at the bar. So, you know what? I'm going to make a prediction. This is going to be the part of the book that a lot of people are going to email me about that listen to the audiobook that's going to say that it helped them. Because what I'm telling you, salespeople, is you need to take a step back and understand that the rules have changed. Unfortunately, it's just the truth, because that's what I said. I said, unfortunately, this is going to take a little more effort, a little bit more time, a different tact to be successful. So that's number one. Number two, it's content, baby. It is. You can't just control, copy, and paste up to everybody. If you're going to want to sell on social media, you're going to have to read their profile. You're going to have to know what they care about. You're going to have to do something that the best salespeople that are listening to this know already, which is selling is actually more about your ears than your mouth. You've got to listen. You've got to figure out what they care about. And you've got to sit there and read their last 50 tweets. You've got to see what it says on their Facebook page. You got to see what they're posting about on Instagram. And then you walk in with that context. See, content matters, but the context matters even more in sales. That's why I love it so much. If you understand them, then you know what to give them. If you understand what's going to make them tick, then you can provide it and close them. Next, a little more tactical. Facebook ads. Understand what it means. I can go into it and I will here. I guess that's what you paid for, but you should even Google and YouTube a little bit more to see it in practice. You need to understand what Facebook ads do. Facebook ads are the one place we can go back to what we used to do. We can hit on everybody. You can just put out content through an ad that's a direct right hook. If you target it properly, the right CFO, the right CEO, the director of marketing, the person that buys toilet paper, the person that buys IT, the wife in the household that makes the decision to buy cereal, the husband that decides to buy cereal, all that stuff is absolutely capable in a Facebook environment. So you need to become a practitioner, an actual doer as a salesperson. I get it. We don't like to do that stuff. We like to use our words, but you've got to do that. And that really matters. I alluded to it earlier, just a little bit ago, Twitter search. It is the number one place you can sell for because everybody's talking and it's an open conversation. So if you're a salesperson that likes to go to networking events, if you like going to the Chamber of Commerce and you're the one that's not passing around all the business cards and looking spammy, but no, you actually just, you know, grab some cheese and a glass of wine. You're like, hey man, what's your name? Oh, Rick. Oh. And then you find out that Rick buys or potentially knows the person that buys what you sell and you actually build a relationship. You might go golfing with Rick the next weekend. You might actually romance a girl. You know, you might actually build a relationship, which then leads to you doing the landscaping for Rick's house 7.5 months later because you didn't ask Rick. Rick asked you to do it. So that's another place you have to go. You know, I'm going to go into an interesting place. I just referred to it. Fix your LinkedIn game. So many of you are doing the lowest common denominator. Go and spam everybody with the same message on LinkedIn. And you're like, hey, that was good. 3 of the 17,000 people responded and it was worth it. It's a huge mistake. It makes you look terrible. Instead of spamming everybody and sending emails on LinkedIn through the inbox, start producing content. LinkedIn has become a content play and you're able to post just like you are on Twitter and Facebook. And it blows me away that every day I tell this to salespeople and they're like, really? Because they're so caught up in just emailing the connections and connecting to people that they didn't realize that they can put out content which 3 people can share. It brings them awareness. And then all of a sudden, people are coming to you because they read something about your point of view on landscaping instead of you pitching everybody every single day. So look, the answer to this question has actually been the last 2 hours probably, or the last hour of this book, right? It's all summed up here with a couple little tactics. Facebook ad practitionership, clean up your LinkedIn game, but most of all, philosophically get into the clouds and realize, unlike phones, unlike email, unlike business cards, this is an entirely different landscape that is in the favor of the person who's buying, so you need to provide them a little bit more value.
What's the best way to make a right hook seem like a jab?
This is somebody who I'm praying to God did not read Jab, 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 Right Hook because they completely didn't get it or I'm a sucky author and I didn't communicate it well. The answer is you don't. That's the point. That makes absolutely no sense. It's super fun to have a UFC. I wish he was in here saying, what? Like, does that even make sense? Like, you know what this refers to? You're a scummy salesperson. You're trying to trick somebody. I've got nothing else to say. That's how the question's positioned. Let me rephrase this question. How do I take something that seems like I'm bringing somebody value, but instead it's value for me? Now that sucks, and this pisses me off. So, at the end of the day, you don't. What you do is you provide value up front, you bring people value, and then you guilt them into buying stuff. That's right. I'm not Mother Teresa, but you gotta bring them value. And so you don't. And if you do, people sniff it out. As a matter of fact, what's ironic about this question, as I take a step back from my emotion right now, is actually most people do this on social media. They do try to make it seem like it's, you know, a convoluted, tricky little, like, you can't often tell if it's a jab or a right hook because most people don't just genuinely try to provide value. And believe it or not, some of the best social media experts, quote unquote, are actually very bad salespeople and they're crippled. You know, they give out all this good stuff, but they don't know how to ask for the right hook. That was probably the biggest and most interesting thing of writing Jab, 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 Right Hook. So many people came to me and said, Gary, thank you. I've been putting out all this stuff. I didn't know how to go in for the ask. But this question, my friends, is not in that direction. This is why people hate salespeople. This is absolutely not coming from the right place of intent. They're looking for a quick fix instead of value, 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 then earning an ask. And by the way, an ask that doesn't mean you get the right to land it. It's just you built up enough equity to at least go for an ask. So the answer is I'm not even going to afford this question any more of my time because it comes from a bad place. Stop disguising your intent. Be clear, be actionable, build up leverage by providing value. Then you've given yourself a chance for the ask. Hopefully you can then convert.
I've been doing a lot of jabbing, but I don't feel like I'm hitting much of anything. Any advice?
First of all, much like anybody who's listening to this that is into boxing and UFC like I am, you realize some people are just not good at jabbing, right? I mean, you know, there, you know, some of the greatest fighters of all time were because they were great at jabbing. This is kind of the point of the whole metaphor. Maybe what you're putting out is not interesting. Maybe it's not exciting. Maybe you're not bringing value. Look, just because you're talking doesn't mean you're providing value to a conversation. Just because you're putting pictures on Facebook doesn't mean you're actually providing any value. So maybe your jabs are not landing. Now, I'm trying to make sure I understand this completely. This may also mean that when you're going in for the right hook, nothing's happening. There, I would say maybe you have a value breakdown. For example, my jabbing, the Ask Gary V show, all my content on Snapchat, all these pieces of content I put out every day, LinkedIn, Medium, I'm putting out so much for free. And then I go in for a right hook. It's $13, $16, $18, right? The book or thing of that nature. So to me, that's a good value prop. I've given you $900 worth of value. I'm asking for $13. I've noticed way too many people going the other route. You put out the occasional like motivational quote or something of this nature, or a wine review, but then you go in and you ask them for a $20,000 subscription to your mastermind, or for them to buy an $8,000 case of wine after you did two wine reviews. So the other thing for a lot of you to think about is, do you have your balance of value, not volume, value down, that you're providing them enough value that you're actually building the equity in return? The amount of you that have tried to throw right hooks on me and your justification was, hey Gary, I tweeted about your book for everybody to buy it. P.S. I have 19 followers. Now, can you spend 7 hours with me and teach me how to build a business? I would call that a misalignment of value, you know? So that's the punchline.
As we go from concept to final product, how can we empower our readers to spread the word?
You know, this one, I'm going to be very direct. There's just a couple of ways to do this. As you know, I assume that you're building a blog or a community on social networks that are reading content along the way. And soon here it comes, you know, here comes the product. You know, we've been talking about, you know, efficiency, and here comes our calendar app, for example. That would be a common execution. There's really two ways. Number one, make the best calendar app. You know, we've talked about this before. One of the ways to convert and empower your community to spread the word is when they actually try it. Your calculator, your calendar app, your video game, it's remarkable. And they just want to say to their friends, you've got to check this out. The other way, if you didn't just completely smash it out of the ballpark, is to actually be ridiculously upfront. Like literally write a blog post to your readers saying, okay, now here's the right hook, or whatever term you want to use. Thank you so much for supporting our blog over the last 6 months, 6 years. I've seen that too. We have a very important moment for us. Here it comes. It's a $4 app. It's an $8 book. It's a $12 wine. We'd love for you to support this. We don't ask often. We'd like you to buy it. We'd like you to spread the word on social networks and email. It is stunning to me how appreciative audiences are when you don't try to trick them or convince them or guilt them into doing it. You just go very direct. It's very true feedback, and they will respect that and over-index, hence the right hook.
Instagram is good for jabs, but how do you use it for right hooks?
This is interesting, because Instagram is good for jabs. Instagram is good for right hooks, just like every platform in the world. I mean, the way you use it for right hooks is you ask for it. Let me explain. I think what the person was trying to get to at the time was that Instagram doesn't let you link out. Unlike Facebook, unlike Twitter, unlike Pinterest, unlike Tumblr, unlike Google Plus back in the day, when you post something, you could also put a URL that links out. So if I post something on Twitter saying this wine's delicious, I could put a link there and it would go right to winelibrary.com and I'd be able to convert. Instagram didn't allow you to do that. Not the picture, not the copy would allow you to link out. That was a decision they made. It was probably a right decision. It's probably how it grew, at least one of the reasons. So that doesn't take away the fact that you can throw a right hook on television and on print and on outdoor media, meaning you have to use traditional media mentality inside of Instagram to throw your right hook. Meaning you could put a picture there, a bottle of wine, and say, go to winelibrary.com. Sure, most people wouldn't click it. Yes, you would not have as many people convert, but it doesn't mean that you couldn't throw the right hook. Plus, what you can do is you can say, like I often do, and a lot of you know this, the link is in my profile. So one of the funny hacks is that there is one place to link in your profile on Instagram. So what I do often is, if I want people to see something, I'll put it up and I'll say, the link is in the profile. And then they click that and they go there. And then when I change it, great, you change it. And sure, it doesn't have all the links, but you do the one you want of that moment. More importantly, since I answered this question, Instagram ads have come out. You can buy them the same way as Facebook. And what's great about Instagram ads is that content, the picture is clickable out. So if you're willing to payola, give Facebook a little bit more money, you can throw the right hook and you can get that link out. So the truth is, where there's a will, there's a way. It's tough to stop capitalism. And so people like myself hacked by saying, go to the profile, you can use dollars, or you can just rely on traditional right hooks, which is you give them the information and you siphon a certain percentage. You may not see where the clicks came from, but you knew that you just did it. Or you could use an Instagram code like InstaWine to know it exactly came from that, if you're a quant math conversion guy or gal.
Hi guys, it's Jason Ferris at FrezYes on social media, founder of FrezYes.com and broker owner of FrezYes Realty. Here's my question for the Ask Gary V book. I've been throwing out Sugar Ray-like jabs on social for years, and the followers have flocked and engaged regularly. But it's not entirely evident what I do. I sell real estate. How do I transition smoothly to someone who can throw a perfectly timed right hook and not come off as salesy?
This is a tough transition for a lot of people, and I referred to it earlier. I think that what you do is just, you have to be authentic. And I think that it needs a manifesto piece. What I mean by that is, you need a signature piece of content that transitions the acceptance that you're gonna occasionally throw a right hook. So what I would do on Instagram, for example, is I'd probably make a 15-second video that linked to a longer video on YouTube where it explained, hey guys, I know I've been talking about wine for years in my kitchen. You might not know this, but I have a wine shop and I'm gonna start talking a little bit about it more, and I'm gonna start offering wines once in a while. And so I actually think the answer is quite simple, even though it's quite complex. Meaning, you just gotta go there and you just gotta tell the truth and you've gotta make the transition and you've gotta make it a big deal. I wouldn't half-ass it. That's why I'm going with the manifesto piece. I come out the gate and say, look, thank you so much for following me for the last 2.5 years about gardening, about landscaping, about fixtures, interior design. The reason I'm so passionate about this, you may not know, is because I'm in this business. And please expect once in a blue moon for me to post my open house on this platform. And so be ready for that, this and that. You're really just respecting your audience, which I think they'll enjoy. And so really the funny part here is, it sounds like you, and I know a lot of you, are just scared to make that transition. You don't want to be a sellout. You don't want to feel like you did the wrong thing. Telling the truth is always the right thing. And as you know, it's not like you didn't put in the work. It's not like you didn't provide people value. It's not like you had this scheming master plan of tricking people, because for 2 years you've been putting out great stuff. I mean, you know, in a weird way, I'll do it for you right now. You're entitled. You're entitled to do that. By the way, it doesn't mean they're going to buy homes from you, but you're definitely entitled to ask.
Is there ever such a thing as too much jabbing? Is there ever a time when you withhold content or refrain from engaging in order to build up some mystique?
Yes, there's an absolute time that too many people jab. I mean, I see this quite a bit. They love being liked. They're not naturally salespeople. This is coming off the last question. I think we're on the same page here, everybody. Yes, the answer is yes. You just have to find a time to right hook. You can't just keep jabbing. For all the guys listening, eventually you go from being someone the girl's interested in to directly into the friend zone. And once you're in the friend zone, you can never get out. And that meant that you jabbed too long. And so anybody who's ever been stuck in the friend zone and knows exactly what I'm talking about, that's the business version of this. They start taking you for granted. They don't expect you to throw the right hook. You have to do the manifesto piece. Did you really convert? So yes, there is. Now, building mystique. Yep. Yes for that too. I mean, and these are fun answers for me, because these are countercultural answers to a lot of my other stuff. I think that there's an absolute time to not put out stuff for free, to maybe never put anything out. And the only time I think you can really get away with that is when you've got the best product in the world. Let me explain. A club in New York City. If you're the hottest club in New York City, you don't need ads. You don't need a great sign. People will knock on the door 6 times, say the secret password, pay off the guy at the door, like buy a $1,500 bottle. Like when you've got it, you've got it. And people will do anything to get in. You know who does that? Apple. Go look at Apple's jabbing on social media. Non-existent. They don't need to pander. They're making such a great product, they can go right into the right hook. Here's Apple's marketing for the most part. The new iPhone 47 releases March 9th, 2096. Go get it. I mean, like, you know, this is not complicated. I actually think Apple's a bad marketer. It's just that they make the best product in the world so they can mail it in. It may seem heady and cool because they're already cool. It's like, you know, it's like the coolest kid in your high school if they wear a weird hat. Like, out of context, it's just a weird hat and that kid's a doofus. As the most popular kid in your high school, everybody's wearing that goddamn hat a week later. So that's what happens. That's what's going on here. And so I know that after listening to all my stuff, these may seem like interesting answers. It seems like a little countercultural, but they're true. Yes, there's too much jabbing. Yes, friend zone. Yes, there is an absolute place to not put out stuff, to not pander to anybody, because you got the goods.
If my right hook is watch my web series, then what are some good jabs to set that up?
You know, if you're lucky, and this is funny for me because I can see the way the question's positioned, but if you're lucky enough that the right hook is to watch the web series, well, then you're set because your jabs actually look very similar. Let me explain. Snippets, and I don't mean edited snippets from the web series. I mean original snippets, because you're capable of making a web series. Well, then make original 15-second snippets that create excitement around your longer form 1 minute, 3 minute, 7 minute, 15 minute original web series posts. Think about it from a boxer's perspective, right? If you actually put as much effort into developing a great jab as you do into your great right hook, you become a complete boxer. If you half-ass it, you'll always have that vulnerability. If you are half-assing your little snippets of content because they're just a 15-second clip from the series, it doesn't have the same energy and pizzazz. If you treat it with seriousness, and that's what I would do. I mean, I would produce original content just for the sake of building awareness for the long-form original content. Another thing you could do is think about this. If your web series lives on YouTube, but your 15-second clips live on Instagram and your 10-second originals are on Snapchat, you can use other platforms as jab platforms to drive to your right hook on YouTube, so it's not all living in the same place. And that's just if you want to be that creative or different or things of that nature. So it's about taking the jab seriously, but you've got a very easy answer. You're producing that kind of stuff already. Just make shorter versions of it for jabs on platforms that drive awareness.
How do your right hooks differ for a free service versus a paid one?
You know, look, I mean, I think if your service is free, you're probably going to convert a lot of your right hooks easier, right? It's not that difficult in comparison to getting people to take out their wallet. So ironically, I don't think it's super different. I just think the results are going to be different. You know, if I have an app that's $4.99 in the App Store and you've got a free one and we both throw kind of the similar style content as a right hook, I have a funny feeling I might get 37 downloads and you might get 370 or 3,700. And so I don't think they differ. You're asking people for something. I just think the result is going to differ.
Many of your jabs and right hooks reach your B2C audience, but how does it impact B2B?
I want to make sure everybody understands what this means. B2C is business to consumer. B2B is business to business. VaynerMedia is a business to business business. Wine Library is a business to consumer business. So now that I've had the luxury of running both in my career, I feel very prepared to answer this question. I really focus on jabs. And so in the B2B space, it's quite interesting. All this content that I'm putting out is building a reputation for me. I sell the thing that I talk about in the open for free. So think about that. If I'm right about Snapchat the way I'm yelling about it now, in 2 years, there are people that are making business decisions that are hearing my pontification on this platform. And if it becomes the big platform that I think it's going to be, that's going to lead to business generation. So my legacy of what I'm putting out to the world is the driver for my B2B business. On the B2C side, it was a lot more entertainment and information. It wasn't about being right. I wasn't being paid for my kind of strategies. I was being paid for my palette or my points of view in the current, not where things are going. Don't forget another thing. Behind every B is a C. So yes, it's business to business, but a human being, the CMO, the brand manager, the CEO, they're making the decision. And so they're getting affected as a consumer. So a lot of the content I put out is not going, there is no GE, there is no Pepsi. Those are companies that are run by people. Those people are being affected by that content. And so I think about B2B and B2C every day of the week, every hour of the day. But I recognize that my content doesn't differ that much. It's just landing differently depending on the audience, but it's the same game overall, which is provide value, provide value, provide value. Let the chips fall when you actually go in for the hook. I think the kind of content you make is very important. I make content for two separate areas in the B2B space. One is for entrepreneurs, which a lot of this book is. Another one is really for corporate America, which this has a lot of, but Jab, 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 Right Hook had a lot more, right? And so the kinds of content that I mix in are also a very important thing. And you need to break down your B2B and B2C strategies that way as well. For example, you may be selling something B2C, but both 12 to 20 year old kids and 40 to 48 year old moms may be both buying that product. You'd like to have different content for those two sectors.
VaynerNation, stop, focus, and listen. This question is important. It's your boy Ross Walker. I'm broadcasting live right now from Dubai. At the time of this recording, I'm very, very excited and absolutely buzzing to be part of the VaynerNation history and part of the Ask Gary V book. So thank you, Gary. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, all the guys on the team, for making this a possibility. So my question, here we go. The company I work for is strict. I would say almost too strict on working within their brand guidelines. What is the best way to approach and post content on social, in particular Jabs, without being perceived as breaching the company's brand guidelines? In other words, should I tell them to just chill the fuck out? It's social media, right? Thoughts appreciated, Gary. Thank you and much love.
Now that's an accent. If I had that accent, I would have sold at least 100,000 more books. I know it. All right. Yes, tell them to chill the fuck out. The number one vulnerability right now to businesses in the world is that there's a human being who thinks that they're the only person in the world that knows the voice and the tone and the style of a brand. It is the leverage that they hold. It's how they keep their job and justify it. And they're hurting companies. It's a bad, bad move. It's somebody justifying their paycheck while not allowing a brand to experiment and try different things to create success for the business. It really goes as simple as that. I deal with it every day. It's getting better. People are becoming educated. People realize that we as businesses and brands mean different things to different people, so it's okay. It's old school television mentality, because you only had enough money to do one commercial and you had to do it one big time and it cost a lot of money to distribute, and so you needed one big message. Today you can do lots of different messages. You mean something different to different demos, different income levels, different accents. You know, that's the game. And so yeah, the chill out is a pretty good thing, but I also recognize I don't want you to lose your job, so maybe you want to keep the F word out of there. Otherwise, go with it.
Do you recommend your website's landing page to be a jab like a blog or a right hook?
I recommend that you don't half-ass the execution to this question. What I mean by that is be clear and direct when somebody lands on your website to either the jab or the right hook. Now, that's up to you. You land on my website, it's a jab, right? It's a lot of content. I'm telling you about myself, a lot of blog posts. But during certain times in my career, every 2 or 3 years when I'm doing this exact thing, when you land on my website, there's a big right hook for the book. Buy, buy, buy. So I think it matters what you're doing. If you're a retailer, you better have right hooks. You're selling stuff. If you want people to get into your franchise and become interested in you, you got to give them the most interesting content when they land. This is just reverse engineering your finish line. It depends on what you're trying to create. Are you trying to capture emails so that you can remarket to them? Are you trying to quickly land a jab for a right hook later? Are you trying to land a right hook immediately? Are you never trying to land a right hook? So I think the one thing that people are struggling with is they try to put too much stuff on their website, and they have jabs and they have right hooks, and then you end up having nothing. So I think you make a decision, you understand what you're actually trying to accomplish of that moment, and you execute it.
Hey guys, it is Soren Azurian, CEO of Apeel. We are app development company, and here is my question for the Ask Gary V book. If you could ask one question of your audience to make sure you're on the right track, what would it be?
This is something I've done many times in my career, and it's quite simple. You literally email them and you say, how's it going? How is my service going for you? What do you think? What do you think about what we're doing? How do you like my show? How do you like the email service? How do you like the content I'm putting out? You just literally ask that. How is it going? If you do that, you've created the permission by the context of the question for them to be a little bit more honest with you. And of course, people will pander, especially if they like you. But I've had enormous success with being clear as day on the direction of this. As a matter of fact, weird, I did it yesterday. Yes, I'm currently, and probably by the time you listen to this, in a Snapchat coma and putting out a lot. And literally yesterday I put out and said, is there too much content going out? Tell me. You just ask them directly what you want to know and you'll be stunned how quickly they'll answer you.
What are the most effective things you've done to drive book sales?
So I've had a lot of success. All three of my books, and hopefully this one, I'm sure. All four business books, including the wine book, which was my fifth book, but all of them done quite well. And there's a lot of things I've done, so I'm going to break them down. First of all, I've done things the right way at the religious top, call it the clouds. I've put out good content. The books have been good. That kind of matters. Number two, I've overwhelmingly jabbed for years in between each book and provided more value than the ask in return for the cost of the book. So my latest execution and why I think Ask Gary Vee, the book, is going to be the biggest seller of all is because I think that I've put out so much content in the last 2 years that has been valuable and free that it's built up a lot of equity and I'm going to convert quite well. The other thing I've done is I've gone in for unbelievable B2B hooks. That's right, B2B right hooks, actually through C's. Let me explain. In February of 2016, I'm going to go 3-4 days into a hotel room and I will email every person I do business with and ask them to buy my book. That's right, by hand, not automated, because it's human. I will email my buddy Ben Lair and say, hey Ben, how's it going? Great time hanging out last Friday. That's right, write something that makes them know there is no automation associated with this. And I will say, could you really buy 50 books, man? Can you buy 100 books, man? You know, I'm going to talk to him because he's my buddy. I don't have to make it long. Somebody else who I've done business with 3 or 4 times, but I feel close to. Hey, Don, it's been great getting to know you over the last 6 months. Listen, every 2-3 years, I put out a book. I know you've got a big organization. I think it actually can help you. I think you sit on a nonprofit for entrepreneurs. It'd mean a lot to me if you can actually buy 50, 100 of these books. Then I go to Twitter and I go one by one to my most engaged audience and say, hey, how you doing, you know, Rick? How's it been going? I'd love for you to support my book. Are you buying my book? Yes, Gary, I'll take 3. And I literally do hand-to-hand, and I mean hand-to-hand combat, one by one, tedious one-to-one sales to everybody that was ever interested or has ever done business with me. Next, I go to the places where I think attention is undervalued. I do a lot of podcasts. If you listen to podcasts around business and entrepreneurship and motivation, you will hear me in March, April, May. I guarantee it. Next, I siphon other things I do. All my public speaking, where I make a lot of money, I trade in for books, big bulk buys. So I do that. Next, I do pop-up events. I go to places. I'm going to Dallas, where I normally wouldn't have gone. There's not a reason for me to be there. I'm doing an event that sells a lot of books. St. Louis. I'll just go and trade my time and my expertise and my engagement for books. Next, I will have my comms team reach out to Inc. and Fast Company and any kind of thing you can think of to see if they want to write or talk about my book. It's a barrage of sales and marketing, but most of all, I just put in enormous amounts of work. That's what I do.